following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
All right, Nebraska breaks the huddle. Nate Turner wide right. Richard Bell slot right. Lonnie Kratzenstein tight end on the left. Eye formation with Tyrese Knox, tailback. Knox gets the handoff up the middle. Hits a stone wall, bounces off and goes to the right. Picks up two from the 25 to 27. And the tackle made by Reuben Oliver.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show.
And it breaks up a second down play and eight for Nebraska, leading 63-35 with 5:16 to go in the game. Kratzenstein tied in on the right, wide left for Nebraska. Come, chip, ball. Man in motion, the pitch goes to the tailback. Tyree Stocks around the right side. Cut to the 24, Centrain. And Melvin Gillum on the tackle to 26.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this Wednesday. We're also joined by former Husker Monty Kratzensteinstein.
You say potato, I say potato.
I just love that cut. I just love hearing it all the time.
It never shows. Really? You like that?
Because I think it's great.
With your crack staff of millions of interns as well as engineers, you can't find one other mention other than a 3-yard gain by Tyrese Knox,
all
where
the games
I might
on TV
or might
then
not have blocked that guy correctly.
All the games weren't on TV then.
Yeah, you know, I know.
There's not
I
as
know
much archive.
If you had rabbit ears, they were on TV.
Monty's going to talk to us about Husker football. He's been down, seen the practice. We'll talk about that a little bit. We'll also be chatting with Jeff Erickson of RotoWire. Get your fantasy football questions in today. He is the senior editor of RotoWire. We'll talk with him today, and then our buddy Luke Hoover next Thursday. And every Thursday will be our fantasy football segment. But Jeff has time to chat with us on this Wednesday, so we'll do that. And our high school football preview takes us to Kearney Catholic with head coach Dave Colling, a football team that was oh so close last year, and then they are ranked third in C1 in the preseason from a Huskerland Prep Report, which came out yesterday. So we'll talk with Coach Colling about that. Don't forget that tomorrow we're on the road at Bandits. Steve Anderson will be joining me again in Grand Island. We'll have a chance to continue our Big Ten preview with Brady Hoke, Michigan coach. We'll talk Northwest football with Kevin Stein. That's among some of the activities on Thursday. Join us over at Bandits, and we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. The Royals' winning streak came to an end last night. They're 11-2 in their last 13 games. John Lester has beaten them both times. And so the Royals can, I think, handle that. And again, you knew that the streak would end sometime. Last night is when it was. They'll battle again this evening. Detroit also lost, so the Royals remain in first place in the American League Central Division. And it looks like Justin Verlander, his arm is sore. They will not have to put him on the shelf for the rest of the year, not at least as of now. The MRI yesterday will keep him back in. And the Denver Broncos, who have to be better on defense, they lose their leading tackler from last year, Danny Trevathan. And I know, when they said that, I went, Trevathan? Who? Leading tackler? Leading tackler, didn't know
that. Said something about the defense. They didn't make enough tackles.
What do you have, four?
Come on.
You have four? But some more worries there for Bronco fans. If you'd like to join us on the program, the Chicken Coop hotline is 888-455-3776, 888-455-3776. You can always email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, and you can tweet us at ESPN1460-1550. But Randy, what's up?
I wish you would rage again. You'd rage against my Reds so they would get as hot as the Royals have been. Well, even with the loss, they're, what, 16 of the last 20 games?
Yeah,
they won 16 of the last 20.
Yeah, and the Tigers have lost 5 in a row. It all combines to give you a chance to
make they've won every series so far, so today's game against the A's will determine whether or not they keep that streak alive. But they've been playing really, really good ball, with the exception of last night when their pitching was not real good.
Yeah.
It's really the first time the A's have broke out the offense against them.
Gave them a chance to get Bruce Chen in the lineup, though.
Yeah.
Game's over. Here comes Bruce Chen. Goes Bruce Chen. I think that's the only time I got to pitch. Yeah. Looks like it's going to be mercy rule.
Can't hurt us anymore.
Go to right.
The phrase is gobbling up innings.
Yeah.
That's a baseball.
Kind of a little league thing usually.
Use some innings. You got to have a guy when it's out of reach, and hopefully it isn't your outfielder or your shortstop.
Yeah, get to that point or a 19 inning game. Let's dive into it here because Monty in studio. Next segment, Dave calling at the end of the program today. We'll be talking fantasy football with Jeff Erickson, because I know, Randy, have you had your draft, one of yours? Have you had one yet?
No, we're actually being, like, more timely. 1 year we had our draft when they opened camp.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable, but we're back to a more normal schedule.
I will have 3 drafts, and the first of those, I believe, is, like, Sunday the 24th. So I feel good that all 3 are within that 10-day period. And Monty, you don't do fantasy football.
I feel really bad whenever you talk about horse racing, fantasy football, though I love football, as we all know. I just have never jumped in.
So from the player's perspective, maybe.
Maybe as a player?
Well, I'm just saying you weren't a pro football player.
No.
And you hear a lot about the guys now that they will mention it. They'll acknowledge it. They'll talk about it. They'll tweet it. A lot of the Twitter handles from whoever handles their own accounts. But as a non-fantasy football guy, your thoughts on how it has maybe affected or the coverage it receives now on a normal game day, game week, it seems like that's half the talk anymore.
It can't be a bad thing at all because – it's excitement, it's interest, it's people involved. That's a good thing for the NFL. It was interesting, you read about different problems that NFL franchises have, and one of the problems they have is filling their stadium because people that go to the NFL games live, that takes away from their fantasy football experience. So they're trying to figure out ways. It's such a big deal that they're trying to figure out ways to tap into that market because it's much easier for the fantasy football guy or the people that are on the fringe that are involved in fantasy football to stay engaged. It's easier for them at home than it is at the stadium. So that's, to me, that's an interesting concept. It's not a bad thing because the NFL, obviously from the marketing standpoint, it's a big deal.
Randy, there's so many hours in the day on the radio. There's so many television. I mean, you can invent. They are making new channels just for fantasy football. The Red Zone is for that. There is a new fantasy zone now. If you've seen I haven't seen it on TV. I just saw it online. The Manning, Eli, and Peyton. They've done it again. It's about a 3-minute wrap. Yeah,
which concerns us.
Really bad. Yeah. But it's funny because it's the Mannings. But there's the opportunity to talk about it. Ad nauseum if you want to.
Yeah, you can make this as big as possible. And, you know, Monty's right. I mean, the Jaguars have said that they're going to have on their big screen, they're going to show Red Zone through the course of the game. And I like fantasy football, but, you know, a lot of the mobile devices and things like that, I get a constant update. Every time me or my opponent scores a point, it's on my phone and I can just kind of keep an eye on it. I don't necessarily have to watch Red Zone. I wouldn't give up watching and enjoying a game as a result of that, but it has gotten so large that you've got these apps, you have these channels, you have these shows that have made such a big deal about it, and I think it's kind of fallen, the cart has fallen the horse a little bit. Fantasy football has become so entertaining, so interesting, and I did it back in the day when you had to wait till the Monday paper came out and figure out the stats looking at what was printed in the paper. So, I mean, it's come a long, long way from there.
So you're saying that Terry Bradshaw was a good fantasy
at one time.
Prepared.
At one time.
Terry Bradshaw was the guy.
Believe it or not, at one time, I was a pretty good Cowboys fan because I had Emmett, Michael Irvin, and the quarterback. So Aikman. Any points? Yeah, I had Aikman. So I mean, I had whatever they did. The and by the way, I'm rooting for screen passes and flares out to Irvin for the long touchdowns because that's two touchdowns all at one time.
He just the quarterback, my Hall of Fame quarterback,
that one guy.
Yeah, you know, I just didn't want to have too much Cowboy cred. That's what I was trying to avoid.
Too late.
I was trying to avoid having that, and I think I've successfully done it.
Too late.
You know, the other part about it is. You know, that underlying thing in gambling in sports, which, by the way, that there is some gambling in sports. I don't know if you knew that or not. But the interesting thing about it is now all this attention, you know, fantasy football is perfectly legal. It's perfectly okay to do. It's perfectly okay for the players to talk about. And it's almost, you know, before fantasy football was around, there was this undercurrent among the fans of the gambling lines and that sort of thing. Not saying there isn't still today, but it's almost – well, this is a good thing because you can talk about it. You can have networks about it. You can have apps on your phone about it. Whereas from the gambling standpoint, it isn't quite okay.
Yeah, taboo for players to be and coaches to be.
Can an NFL player be involved in fantasy football? Can they be in a league?
Yes.
They can do the whole thing? Okay.
Yeah. You hear them talk about that. And
I drafted myself. I have heard that.
Now you say that.
Bruce Jones-Drew was big into that.
Yeah, and to me that's – I mean, that's kind of fun, okay, because it isn't like you're going to tank a performance.
Well, if you're handed the football, what's your goal? I mean, if you're handed the football or you're throwing the football, the goal is either catch it, complete it, or run for a touchdown with it. Yeah.
If I scored, I was going to lose fantasy, so I slid down at the one.
We might have to put a stop to it once it gets to that point. I don't think so.
Well, let's not get too over the top here. Let's get into some Husker football talk here in our first segment of the Doug and Daddy Show. And Monty, we are into that part now where it's two-a-days. Correct me if I'm wrong, when the 80s and before, and I don't even know when the cutoff date would have been because I don't think it's that long ago, didn't you start with two-a-days?
Oh.
I mean, the first day was two practices,
absolutely,
if not more. And now they've put in the acclimation time, helmets, shoulder pads, can't go full contact, can't go full pads, which is good. That's fine because everybody's bigger, faster, stronger. That's my contention on the whole thing. So it's easier to get hurt, tired, all those things, and you can get up to speed quicker. But it's different today, is my point.
That's one of the things I want to talk about going to practice last week, is the difference. And I'm not saying it's better. I'm not saying it's worse. It's just different. You know, I sound like one of those old guys. Well, back in the day, spring ball is totally different. I mean, we went live every single day in spring ball. That was what spring ball was all about. When you start two-a-days, you knew you were going to have two straight weeks of two-a-days, and it was going – and half pads was a rarity. That's just the way it was. Were there any more injuries at that point? Probably not. Everybody did it that way. Our players, like you said, bigger, faster, stronger, so there's more injuries and more risk in doing it that way? I don't know, but I'll tell you something. When I went down there, I went down Thursday – and it's so nice because they're having practice in the evening, so it's easier to get down there and see, especially when it ties in some work stuff. And I went and watched it. They practiced for 75 minutes, and that was their only practice of the day. And I talked to some different guys about it. Well, I said, did you know that beforehand? We didn't know that until the day before, they said, because these monitors that they're wearing, these body monitors that they're wearing that track everything from heart rate to amount of miles they run to And I didn't know exactly the details of it, but also talking about soft tissue and lactic acid buildup. So when the majority of the soft tissue injuries take place is when obviously fatigue sets in. So what's that fine line between getting in condition but then risking injury? I mean, there's some incredible science involved, and who are we to say that's not right?
Yeah.
But it's changed. I mean, I went there and watched a 75-minute practice. They're going lined up to post-practice stretch. I'm like, why are we stretching halfway through practice? This doesn't seem right to me.
It almost seems to me, though, in the past, you got in condition with two-a-days. That was your conditioning. I think athletes now today show up in that better condition so they don't have to spend as much time conditioning, and that time is reflected in you don't necessarily need two-a-days, and you also don't need to spend 45 minutes of your practice, so your practices are 45 minutes shorter.
I absolutely agree with that, whereas these guys have been doing so much during the summer that conditioning isn't as much of a factor. Now, what you have to do is look at the big picture and say, it's always interesting to me to say, okay, what are the trends and what are the four guys in the forefront doing? We always talk about, in this particular case, Florida State's and the Oregon's. How do they practice? And not just the speed of practice and the efficiency of practice and how much time is spent, but also look at a wideout. And you know, Kenny Bell is talking about last year, he was running between 7 and 9 miles a practice, running routes, coming back, all those sorts of things. And you tell me that doesn't play a role when you get to the middle of the season, toward the end of the season. That's really what they're trying to avoid.
Do you think that's accurate, by the way?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I think that's accurate for those guys whose jobs, especially on the outside, that are you watch them in practice and how much they're just flat out running. Now, I remember, you know, Coach Brown was, you know, receivers coach at that time. He was so big on saving the legs at certain times where we'd do the amount of repetitions that we would do with our hands and with short footwork as opposed to running long distances and long pass patterns, you know. But there wasn't scientific technology to back it up.
How much more work these days, I assume, maybe percentage-wise, how much more work is being done in the film room, in the meetings, than it was in the 70s, the 80s? Because it seems to me that they can run shorter practices for the reasons Randy was talking about, but they are learning more and taking more time in the film room, and then they're executing. I mean, I asked Sean Callahan, I said, what if the guys are making mistakes out there?
Yeah.
If you have a 75-minute practice, it seems like you do have to take time to talk to these guys, get it right. The clock's ticking. They want to run, go. But if you're making mistakes, are they correcting them in practice, after practice, in the film room? How's that working?
It used to be, first of all, they aren't watching any more film than what we used to watch because it's all the same amount of
chalkboard
time.
Chalkboard time or grease board time.
But what you do is you'd watch the film. You watch every single practice or play in practice is filmed. And then you watch that before the next practice and you make your adjustments, and that's where the teaching takes place. The concept now is just what you said, a lot more of it's a short, hey, that's wrong, you need to do this. But it's not stopping practice while you walk through something with one or two guys, which is the way it used to be. And they talk about teaching in the film room and in the meeting room as opposed to in practice. Again, that's what more people are doing, whether it's right, wrong, or otherwise. But I'll tell you, go watch a practice, and it is nonstop. And there's a lot of yelling, a lot of chaos. They got music going on. And they're trying to create this sort of frenzy, this sort of mental overload, for lack of a better term, to prepare them for a game time situation. Now, what I haven't done is I haven't been able yet to go into the meeting room and watch that to see if that model has changed. But it used to be that the pace used to be slower. We still ran, I mean, again, go back to the old days, we still ran over 120. That was the Tom Osborne model. Four stations, two run stations, two pass stations. Mm-hmm. Once you got into the second half of practice, we'd always look at that script, and there was anywhere between 25 to 30 plays on that script for that station. You do that four times. That's 100 to 120 plays you ran in practice in the second half of practice. That was the model. You can't do that now because there aren't enough players on the field to run four stations efficiently. You see, so just some of the things that the NCAA has done as far as practice is concerned has changed the way you can practice.
And I think you're right in terms of the supervised time that they spend looking at film and doing X's and O's. I don't think that's probably changed a whole lot. But I do think one thing that's different with technology, with the use of websites like Huddle, with the iPads and things like that, outside of that supervised time, they have it in their laptop.
Right.
They have it in their iPad and on their smartphones and things like that, where they can analyze what they did in practice, where they were supposed to be, how it's drawn up. I mean, all that stuff, I think, allows them to have more time to have the intellectual aspect of the football game outside of that practice time. So I think it's the time that where they're not spending with their shoulder pads on in practice, going through some of that stuff. Now they're doing more electronically, for lack of a better word.
I totally agree with you. I do.
We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. We're continuing throughout the month of August is 0% financing for 60 months on the 2014 Cruze, Malibu, and Impala. See them on the lot today at Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Maybe you're in the mood for a 2015 Malibu? Well, they're in stock, and GM's offering an additional $1,000 rebate on those models. If you're in the looking for a truck, if you're in that category, the 2015 Silverado 25 and 3500s are in stock. An additional $1,500 rebate from the manufacturer, along with the Everyday Midway hassle-free price. Check them out online if you'd like at thinkmidway.com, or stop by and see them at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. When we come back, Kearney Catholic coach Dave Colling as our high school football preview continues. And don't forget, get your fantasy football questions in. Email, tweet it. Jeff Erickson, senior editor of RotoWire, coming up in our last segment.
What does success look like for you? Maybe it's time to start something new at Complete Nutrition, a clean, comfortable place where you can discuss your health and nutritional needs on a personal level. It's more than just a store. It's an experience. Want a supplement plan that works with your lifestyle? For mature men, there's TrueForm from Complete Nutrition. This daily metabolism-boosting multivitamin has everything you need for long-term wellness. TrueForm supports heart health, a better prostate, energy, mood, memory, and reinvigorates male vitality. TrueForm Power and Performance, a multivitamin for men. Complete Nutrition. Success starts here.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281, and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Well, mainly sunny skies in our forecast for today, with a high temperature near 85 degrees, and expect partly cloudy conditions tonight with a low down to 61. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Sam Donaisky. Right now it's 73.
Oh, wow.
Second Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter. Special guest Monty Kratzenstein is in studio with us today. We've been talking some Husker football. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a couple of moments. But right now, it's time to talk Kearney Chicken Coop. A lot of places say they are sports bar and grills, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. Stop in every Wednesday. Their lunch special from 11 to 4 is the turkey BLT and a side for only $6.49. And if you have to get in there a little bit later in the afternoon, or you're off work that early shift, you can get in from 2 to 5:30. Appetizer specials are just 2 1/4. Long necks and draws, 2 1/4 as well. Only at the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds, downtown Kearney, getting you ready for the football season. We're talking high school football today, and we go to Kearney Catholic, where Dave Colling and the Stars start third in the C1 preseason rankings. I'm sure they don't talk about that at all, but we will with the head coach. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Doug. How you doing?
Well, doing good. What's going on in Stars camp? How's the first few days going?
not bad at all. We started school, kids started school yesterday, so that's always hurts a little bit with the mental state of kids when they get out to practice at 4, but not too bad for the first 2 days. We did a lot of stuff in the month of July, so the kids are coming in pretty dang fresh, and with the time restraints we got now, it's a good thing they are.
Yeah, and we were talking about that more on the college side, but it's the same on the high school side. I remember when we were going to school back when you started your coaching career, Dave, that, you know, you were going two-a-day practices well before school ever started. That's not the case today, but pluses and minuses, and do you think the team is just as prepared when you start a practice in 2014 as they were in 1993?
Well, you know, we kind of knew this was coming, so we kind of took the bull by the horns, I guess, and planned, and we always do our camp in July, and I did a little jamboree and did some 7-on-7. So we kind of knew we were going to lose some practices. Even last year with the 8-game schedule, we were allowed another week, so we didn't play week 0. So that week that we're losing was week of 2-a-days. So, you know, you count up those practices and we're missing 10 to 12 practices this year. So we kind of knew that was coming. So we kind of embedded some extra stuff in the month of July. So we're sitting pretty good right now. We're still, still got a lot of stuff to get in. But the kids came in pretty good shape. And so right now I like where we're sitting.
Well, Dave, obviously you should. The Huskerland Prep has you guys rated number 3 in the state. You do have a couple of tough games back-to-back. Columbus Lakeview, a lot of people think pretty highly of them. Obviously, Cozad, mm-hmm. the defending state champions. Talk a little bit about your guys' strength, and do you talk with the kids about we have some expectations that we need to live up to?
You know, the kids might know we're rated 3. We have not said a word about that. The kids know what we got coming back, and I think the kids, realize that we have a lot of components back that on paper look very good. So, the kids are pretty confident. We got our whole offensive line back, which as a coach is a huge thing. We got our quarterback back, which is another huge thing. We're missing, we lost some pretty good athletes, 2 to the Huskers and 1 to Northwest Missouri State. So we are losing some good athletes, but the younger guys are stepping up and in those areas. And so, I like the way we're sitting right now. Anytime you can have an offensive line all back, and that the defensive line back as well and a couple key linebackers back, anytime you can have those components back, it's a pretty easy start to the season as far as getting stuff implemented in.
Dave, Monty Kratzenstein here. As I'm – just what you talked about, I always love the fact if you have offensive and defensive lines, you can always make things work, especially early in the season. But I'm looking at your kids and just knowing some of your kids, 270, 260, 210, some of that sort of thing. You think how do you resist the temptation to just line up those big horses and hand the ball off up the middle and just pound people? I know that isn't necessarily what you've hung your hat on over the years, but if it's me, boy, that there's a temptation to ride those big horses.
There is, and Coach Harvey does a great job. My offensive coordinator does a great job of giving us what teams are going to take, what teams are going to give us. So. If they're gonna line up with one linebacker in the box, we're gonna run the dang football. If they're gonna come out in something different, and that teams are gonna scheme for us, knowing we have our offensive line back, so they're probably gonna load the box and try to have us throw. So we're working right now 50-50 on both things, knowing that at some point we may have to throw the ball quite a bit, but. Yes, we should be able to run the ball quite a bit as well.
Talking with Dave, Coach Speak Calling of Kearney Catholic here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Dave, if they line up 8 in the box and you can run them over, would you do it anyway? That's the question.
If we get 7 yards a pop, you got to go.
Well, you mentioned losing Thomas Conley and Blake Holtmeyer, and Blake makes the 105, which is just very impressive down at the Huskers to make that before classes start. So where will you be looking? Who has to fill those roles?
We got some seniors. As far as the wideout position, wing wide position, Harrison Pierce is a senior. Dan Owens is a senior. Chase Murphy's a senior. We got some Bryce James and Tyler Messler are going to have to come in and fill some of that role also. We got a little of Noah, Eric Don Noah is a sophomore, is doing fairly good for us at receiver as well. So we got some guys that we're putting in there. But like I said, Blake Holtmeyer, heck of an athlete, and people around the state are noticing that now, with the stuff he's been doing down there. So, you can't replace him, but you try to put guys in there that will, like I said, we got some guys that will do fine for us in there.
Dave, talk about the other side of the ball. Obviously, those guys played defense as well. What are some things you're going to have to do differently defensively to replace some of those holes?
Defensively, we've kind of hung our hat on playing fast and physical and letting the kids react to the football. We're gonna dink around. We're gonna change a few things, not be quite as predictable on defense. But Blake, it's free safety and we're losing a heck of a linebacker in Thomas Conley and Jack Graham. We got a couple key guys coming back. Nathan Howe is coming back at linebacker. Dan Owen and Creighton Hammock will be coming back at linebacker also. We got to find the safety spot. And Blake Holtmeyer's little brother is doing a pretty good job right now, actually. We got some things that we got some guys we got to plug in there. But it sure helps when you got the down four as big and physical as we got.
Dave, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the third important element, special teams. I know you got a couple kickers coming back, but
and one of us can't ask about the kickers.
That's true. He's got
Doug. You can ask. Doug, you can ask. It's okay. You're not going to offend me. You can ask.
Can we talk about returners, deep snappers, which people forget, and hold the holders and kickers? Talk about that.
Yes, we got two great kickers coming back, Grant Bushcutter and Chase Murphy. So they've been battling all summer doing stuff, and they continue to battle. We're doing special teams a little bit each day as well. So they'll continue to battle probably till the eve before the first game. And like I said, both of them get their foot into the ball, and we're hoping they can put it down on the 2-yard line. So the long snapper, Tyler Messel, has been doing a great job long snapping. We got to find a second guy, and we're working with some guys. We just got to find that second guy because it's a very important spot, in the long snapper. Can't get it back there. The kickers aren't going to kick the ball. So, but yeah, special teams-wise, I think we're looking pretty good as well.
Just the last minute here with Dave Colling, head football coach at Kearney Catholic. As we move into a kind of a new situation now, we're back to a 9-game schedule, which we have not had for years, and I want your comments on that. But you were so close last year, and I know that would gnaw at a senior or a coach for a while, but I'm not sure that carries over as much here this year. You guys played Cozad as close as anybody did. The overtime losses, the great game against Boone Central. I mean, and now you're setting third. Kind of go back to what the mistakes were that you think, or at least that you're addressing still in fall camp, that maybe cost you those games last year that you hope you can rectify this year.
Sure. And then I kind of alluded to it a little bit. A shootout game, 35-28 against Boone Central, for example. We're tweaking our defense a little bit, kind of like I alluded to earlier. We got to be able to mix things up. Put some quarterbacks into not knowing what coverages we're in. So we can't, you can't line up on defense anymore and just rally to the football. So we're putting some other schemes in that the boys are going to have to think a little bit. And hopefully by the first game, it won't be a thinking process. It'll be a reacting process. But yeah, some of those games, had we had some of these schemes in, could it be a different outcome? Who knows? But, the kids remember those games from last year, so it's not like it's a forgotten thing. So the kids are coming in, remembering all those things that we need to fix. And you got to give credit to the teams we played to. They, scored the two touchdowns at the end to do that. So hats off to them too. But we're scheming a little differently on defense, and then hopefully some of those things won't happen this year.
Dave, when you kind of look at things, you have about 18 returning starters from a year ago that started at one time or another. Your entire offensive line is back. You guys really kind of are very, very heavy with seniors. And how has that kind of related into the drive, kind of the leadership that they've been able to provide in the offseason and heading into this season to do the things that you guys want to do? Because obviously they're going to have a memory of some of those losses from a year ago.
Sure, yeah. And the seniors this year, I got 13 of them. And we've done a great job this summer getting the boys to lifting. We had a great, haven't had to worry about lifting for a couple of years. We just have guys, they come in and know what to do. And I credit the seniors this year for getting the boys, amped up and coming in lifting all summer long. They've done a great job. You know, even as of 2 days ago, we always have a team break at the beginning of practice. And, we always tell the team we're a band of brothers and, we've got each other's backs and all that. But until you hear a senior, when they break, say the word family, you don't know if it sinks in with them. And it has. And these group of seniors are kind of rallying the whole gang together, and so it's kind of a cool thing to see, and this group of seniors is pretty close, and like I said, they probably remind each other every day of last year, and so us as coaches, haven't said a whole bunch about that, but I'm sure they have a ton. So a great group of seniors I got this year.
Well, some great kids. We'll talk about them throughout the year. Kearney Catholic opens the season also at home on the 29th when they take on Ord. They have been one of their non-district games here for quite some time now, and we'll have coverage of that game on our network of stations in PlatteRiverPreps.com. So, Dave, we'll let you get back to work and practices. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks before game one. Good luck.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on. Thanks, Doug.
Take care, Dave Colling.
Thanks, Coach.
Head coach, Kearney Catholic Stars. A lot of expectations being put on by the press, but not everybody has them ranked quite that high.
No, I think some have them as low as 6 or 7. I think that's where Omaha has them. But Columbus Lakeview, number 5, according to Omaha. Cozad, number 1. So by week 4, we're going to have a real good idea of where Kearney Catholic's at.
They have had battles with Ogallala, despite how good Ogallala was the last couple of years, and that's the second game at Ogallala, then Lakeview, then Cozad, and Cozad not in their district, so a very, very tough non-district slate. Their district, Central Catholic, Holdridge, Central City, Minden, and St. Paul. And, of course, remember, Class C1 and C2 now go back to the 9-game schedule and 16-team playoff, meaning winning records don't automatically get you into the playoffs anymore. We'll see how it plays out. They've got a little bit of what they've wanted, and we'll see how that plays out.
They should be there at the end. They really have some guys there, and they have some experience, and they have everything you want to look for going into it. Now just got to execute and
take
care of it.
You're good up front, you're good. I mean, if you're good up front, you're good enough, and good experience at quarterback position as well. Up front. That's
I'm getting there.
Yeah, that's not what we mean by up front, just so you know.
We'll take a break. People can't see what's going on in this studio, and that's a good thing. We'll take a break. Coming up, it's Jeff Erickson, senior editor of RotoWire, talking fantasy football, plus some notes from Nebraska's morning football practice after this.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better, just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100%, and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service, and you never, never have to sign a contract. You'll get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today. and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time. To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service. From seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design.
Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda along with Randy Bushcutter and Monty Kratzenstein.
He's got a lot of thoughts going through his head. He looks at us a certain way, and he's got a lot of thoughts going through his head.
Well, I do. Yeah. I do. And some of them rattle out every once in a while.
That's last year's stuff, right?
No.
No.
That's fresh from Randy this morning.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you told me one thing, and now I'm reading another.
Well, I must have misspoke because what I've edited.
It's like most of my fantasy football selections. But let's get after that.
Yeah. What is the deal there? What did
our fantasy football report brought to you by Cunningham's Journal, your fantasy football headquarters with over 24 high definition televisions, including the giant HD projection television, free Wi-Fi to follow your fantasy football teams, and every NFL game is on at least one television plus the coldest draft beer in town. Head to Cunningham's for every NFL and major college football game all season long. And don't forget about the Courtyard and Loft, three bars in one at Cunningham's. And we are pleased to welcome in the senior editor of RotoWire. As we said, Luke Hoover will join us on Thursdays throughout the season. But, you know, we wanted the boss. Jeff Erickson joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Jeff, good morning. Thanks for the time.
Hey, anytime. Happy to talk to you guys again.
Now, before we get off this and get into the questions here, I want you to give all the pub to your radio show and how people can listen to you and tweet you. And we know the RotoWire website, but give all the specifics.
Hey, sure. Thanks a lot. I'm on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. RotoWire has a show from 10 to 1 Central Time, Monday through Friday. I personally am on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, which is why you get to hear Luke on Thursdays on your show. You know, it's great. We get to talk about all the issues facing the industry, a lot of draft prep right now for football. Obviously, we do baseball. We do some hockey and basketball. We sneak in some World Cup when it's applicable. You know, we're all over there. But right now, it's all football pretty much. And, of course, the main site is rotowire.com, and people can check it out. We've got our draft kit on the site. If you're an app person instead, we have apps. If you search for RotoWire under your app store, whether it's iTunes or the Droid or the Google phone, all that, we've got that for you.
We were kind of talking before we got going here about the change. At a time, you know, I got into fantasy football when you had to get the Monday paper to do all your stats and stuff.
Right.
Has the increased technology, has that brought more people to fantasy football, or is that increased technology in a part, some of those apps and things, been created because of the desire for fantasy football?
Oh, it's clearly chicken for the egg there. It's made it a lot easier to play. There's no doubt about that. It's also brought more people in, too, especially. I mean, 10 years ago, just imagining being able to take, you know, draft on your phone or draft on your iPad anywhere you want. I mean, it's incredible to see the leaps and bounds we've seen technology-wise. But, yeah, and then with that, there's become a huge inflection of people playing the game, especially football. Football is the king in fantasy sports by an order of magnitude or two. Baseball is a clear second, and then there's a huge drop after that for other sports.
We're talking with Jeff Erickson of RotoWire, and then we've got in our last segment a little Nebraska football talk. If you've got questions, fantasy questions for Jeff, we'd love to hear from you. You can always email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, or tweet us at ESPN1460-1550. One of the questions I wrote down earlier this week that I wanted to make sure and ask you is how the new rules may favor wide receivers and may make that an even more valuable position comparing to or overtaking the running backs and quarterbacks. Is that true? How do you see those rules affecting the points that could be made? And, of course, you don't get any points when they throw the penalty flag.
Right, except you get that whole the field position and all that. I think the new rule is if you actually look at someone cross-eyed, it's a 15-yard penalty. So, it's increasingly a passing game, and we're seeing that in drafts this year too. And no longer is it unusual to have some guy take two wide receivers at the turn at the end of the first round. It's common. You see it now. I did a draft a week and a half ago in the NFFC, that's the National Fantasy Football Championship. They're partners of ours. They run a number of different types of contests. And I did a draft, a 12-team draft. It's a three wide receiver league with a flex. It's a PPR league, so it favors receivers to begin with. But five receivers went in the first round. The first six picks of the second round were all wide receivers.
Wow.
We're not just getting the first tier wide receivers grabbed up. We're also seeing that next tier. And I, of course, was drafting in the seventh spot in the second round. So I am the square. I was the guy that took two running backs to start. I went old school.
Are the running backs essentially dead? Because it seems to me that there's only a handful that are really going to get any numbers that are going to compete with the numbers you get from a wide receiver. If you don't get one of those premier running backs, you're probably not going to start two running backs in most leagues. Agreed?
Right. Well, and we're required usually to start two in our leagues. But, yeah, they're not going running back in our drafts that often. It's only because that's what the draft gave me, and that's a key takeaway, too, is you still have to be flexible. You still have to be willing to take what they're giving you. So I got Matt Forte at 6 overall, and I got DeMarco Murray at 2.7, and I was happy with both there. But it did change my plans. I planned on being one of those guys to pound the wide receivers, and there will be other drafts where I'll do that still. But you're right. The gold standard used to be be wary of running backs that had 370 carries the previous year. Of course, those are the elite running backs. Nobody comes close to that. We only had one running back over 300 carries last year. Guys, it's just a different world.
Jeff Erickson joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'd love to hear your questions. We'll get to those in just a second here. Jeff, and I'm going, there's so many mock drafts, but I'm going to the original RotoWire Top 150 and a couple that I saw there. And it's pretty agreeable across the board that it's Jamal Charles, LeSean McCoy, Adrian Peterson are the top three running backs. Would you consider in a PPR league taking Calvin Johnson or one of the other top three or four wide receivers ahead of those guys?
Not only would I consider it, I've already done it. We do a league every year. We have the RotoWire Conference every year at the Major League Baseball All-Star Break in Las Vegas. We do this every year. It's the slowest news days of the year. It's a good time to get away, good time for everyone to see each other, bring our wives and girlfriends and our beat writers come out and join us. Anyhow, we do two drafts out there, too. I had the number two overall pick. I've got a kind of a shaky feeling about Jamal Charles. McCoy had already gone. I went with Calvin Johnson at two overall.
We always talk about top tier and then the second tier. What's the smallest? What position has the smallest top tier in terms of quarterback, wide receiver, running back? Where's the smallest top tier before you have a big drop-off?
Quarterback and tight end. Quarterback, there's an elite three, and it's pretty universal. It's Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. You may quibble about the order, but those are the three. They're head and shoulders above the rest of the pack. I think there are other quarterbacks that might approach them in a given year in terms of what they can do, but these three guys, year after year after year, you know they're going to produce. So they're at the top. Tom Brady is probably at the top of the next tier. With tight ends, it's Jimmy Graham, who's probably in a little mini tier to himself, but followed by Rob Gronkowski and Julius Thomas. Those two guys add up to the rest of that first tier, but there's at least a round's difference between Graham and the next two. Everywhere else, there's a bigger first tier.
We're talking with Jeff Erickson of RotoWire, RotoWire.com, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. A couple of questions I like to pose every preseason as I get ready for my drafts. There's always guys that were injured last year that are question marks and always seem to drop because of the publications that come out. And if you follow online, they're a little more updated, but they seem to be, everybody has questions, will they be able to come back? Who are the guys that were injured last year? Give me some pluses and minuses. Who's going to come back fine and who do you stay away from?
Well, Julio Jones is one that people are asking a lot about. He's a guy that gets still getting drafted towards the end of the first round, beginning of the second round. you know, he, because of his foot injury, people are questioning, do you put him in that first-tier wide receiver or not? If so, they give six wide receivers in the first tier, maybe seven if you include Jordy Nelson, which I think arguably you can. But then again, his hamstring injury that's cropped up just recently scares people away. But Julio Jones is definitely one we're watching closer probably than any other, just because he's an elite player. Running back-wise, there's always a slew of running backs that you have to be concerned about that we're watching pretty closely. You know, you want to watch for some of the standards. You know, you want to worry about DeMarco Murray. He was healthy last year, but can he do it every year? That's Arian Foster. He's been missing lots of time because of this hamstring. You know, and he's musing about retirement after this year. These are things you never want to hear. You never want to hear that. But so those are two guys we're kind of watching pretty closely. I'm actually pushing down Arian Foster to the point where I'm not going to get him. He's one of those guys. I'm just not that comfortable with him.
He burned me last year, just so you know, Jeff. Is there a sleeper out there that you really kind of like, you know, third, fourth, fifth round out there that, I mean, if you loved them, you would rate them up a little bit higher than that. But is there some sleepers out there that you kind of keep on the back burner?
Yeah, absolutely. We all have our share of sleepers. I like Jeremy Maclin on the Eagles. DeSean Jackson's gone. Someone's got to step in and be the number one wide receiver. Now, the Eagles have other talent out there. But I think Macklin's kind of under, you know, you talk about guys coming back from injury. He's another one, but he looks great so far. I'm buying into him in that, and I'm also buying into the Chip Kelly offense. I think that's a real thing. I think it's something that's going to repeat this year. So he's one guy I'm looking at as a good sleeper candidate. If you look at running backs, we're always trying to find guys that we can get late that might have push up their production. I think Joique Bell on the Lions outproduces his teammate Reggie Bush this year, and you probably get him a round or two later. I think that if you're looking for a guy that killed you last year maybe, but I think still has upside, is Trent Richardson. I don't think you have to go any early at all on him. You can get him like the eighth round, but I still think there's a lot of upside potential. So I have a couple shares of him already so far.
Jeff, every league I'm in, and you, the national guys that draft, always tell us about don't get the quarterbacks. I mean, you can get the top three like you've mentioned, but after that, you're not going to really go wrong. But I'm going to tell you right now, every draft I'm in, seven or eight of them will go off the board in the first three rounds. So if
that's good for you.
If you take that advice and you say, you know what, I don't have to get my quarterback till the sixth or seventh round, knowing that eight of them are already off the board, who are we looking at? Who's the guy you like the most in that 8 to 12, 13, 14 range?
Okay, great. Maybe at eight would be Matt Ryan. If you can get him after a down year, remember Julio Jones was out last year. Roddy White was banged up most of the year, too. Was nowhere near 100%. I love Matt Ryan this year, especially their bad defense is your best friend from a fantasy perspective, because they're always going to be playing in these shootouts. They play in a division where they play the Saints twice. In fact, they open the season against them. I think Matt Ryan's a guy that is going to be a good bounce-back candidate. Looking a little lower, Colin Kaepernick, I think they're trying to surround him with more talent. You notice that they went out, they drafted Carlos Hyde, they signed Stevie Johnson. They've got a healthy Michael Crabtree already, so they're a better offensive unit around him this year. So I think he's a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, someone you can wait on. Jay Cutler is someone you can wait on. Look at Jay Cutler. Look at the Mark Trestman offense there. That's another guy that I'm buying into the coach. And I think that you look at the Cutler, and I know he's not going to be a scrambler or anything like that. He's not going to run for you at all. But he's got great guys to work with there, and Jeffrey and Marshall and Forte, Martellus Bennett, if he's not busy beating up his teammates. You know, I think that's going to be a good offense, a very potent offense. And once again, the Bears defense isn't very good. So that's another thing that works in your favor.
Jeff, I'm not looking for a specific player or anything like that, but just kind of draft strategy. Do you do you go best player available, or do you kind of look at your team and you look at needs? Do you kind of look what's been drafted, what's left out there? How do you kind of gauge all that when you're kind of doing your draft strategy?
It's a good question. I think it depends on a couple things. One, where you are in the draft, and two, what type of league you're in. I think the most important thing you need to do before any draft is figure out your league system. And not just the scoring, although that's very important, but also the positions. Is it, I play in leagues now where you start two quarterbacks, and that completely changes everything. I also play in leagues where it's three wide receivers and a flex spot. I've played in some where it's just two receivers, no flex, and no PPR. You need to know all the nuances of your league, because that's going to dictate your strategy a lot. I tend to, the thing that's in vogue this year is pounding the wide receivers early. As I mentioned about that one other draft, it's also just, it's been a very successful strategy in some leagues. To the extent, there's some extreme strategies in this that have worked quite well for people. People drafting, the first four or five guys as wide receivers and maybe a tight end. They'll wait and wait on running backs now because running backs are becoming devalued in the league, so they're reacting that way. And if you're not prepared for that, you're going to get caught under. You need to have your you need to map out your drafts. You need to have a good idea of your roadmap there. If scenario one doesn't pay off, you don't get that wide receiver that you want in the second round, okay, what's going to be my alternative? What am I going to go with here? You need to map all that out.
Well, let's get to one more question here. This comes from Mark, who says, I'm in a 12-team dynasty auction, $100 salary cap, standard scoring 6 points for passing touchdowns. I'm keeping Cutler, Spiller, and Jordy Nelson. I've got money to spend. Should I focus on a top-tier running back or wide receiver? I'm thinking running back number one, but open to suggestions. He also says, I'm a DraftKit subscriber and love it. Keep up the great work. So what's your advice for Mark?
I appreciate that. Thanks, Mark, for subscribing, too. I think it's a question of, first of all, analyzing who's available. Who is the best player out there? You know, and how many? And again, in his case, does he start three receivers? Does he start a flex? Is it a PPR league? And I think those are important things. You know, if the rest of the league is running back crazy, well, then don't add to the madness. Now, thing is, in his league, there's going to be inflation. Because it's an auction league, because there's keepers, you know, that's going to be something that the prices are just going to go sky high. And I think he seems probably aware of this. I gather that he's probably aware of this. But it's important for listeners to realize you're in a keeper league, and people are, you know, it's an auction league like that. People are booking in all these savings. So say a guy that's Eddie Lacy went for 20 last year. He would go for 50 this year. That's 30 extra dollars that people have to spend. And that happens a lot in these keeper leagues. So you need to be ready for the sticker shock, first of all. I prefer to go invest in one of the elite wide receivers. Peter Schenke wrote an article on our site making the case for you going wide receiver early on in your drafts. The top-tier wide receivers rarely fail. Julio Jones was one of the rare exceptions last year, and it wasn't because of performance. It was because of his injury. Remember, he was off to a great start before he got hurt. That's the gold standard. That's the gold stock right there. That you know you're going to get a good return on your investment. So if one of those first-tier wide receivers is out there, I'd focus on buying that first.
Jeff, only got about a minute left, so let's do a couple rapid-fire here.
Sure.
Top rookie is?
I would say it's Bishop Sankey on Tennessee because of the opportunity.
Best player that was traded and is on a new team, who do you like?
Well, it wasn't a trade, but it was a free agent, and that was Eric Decker. I think he's so overrated because of the team that he's actually underrated. I think people are overvaluing the drop in quarterbacks, and they're pricing him way too low.
Injuries, David Wilson is one I can think of.
Yep.
Marvin Jones might be out for a significant amount of time. Who were some guys that you've never heard of that are going to be in the spotlight?
Mohamed Sanu is going to get a lot of run for Cincinnati. I'd say Brandon Cooks, a rookie for the New Orleans Saints, is a trendy guy right now. Remember, they lost Lance Moore. I think he's going to get a significant run with the team. Really deep sleeper, Latavius Murray, Oakland Raiders running back. You're betting against Darren McFadden and Maurice Jones-Drew staying healthy. You haven't often lost when you bet against them.
And you gave us Arian Foster, but I've got it here to ask you. Who is a guy that no matter what type of league you're staying away from?
Arian Foster is a guy I'm not going to own for the price. Another guy for the price, and I'm a Bengals fan. This kills me. I'm not going to spend the price it costs to get Giovanni Bernard because they went out and they drafted Jeremy Hill in the second round. Hill's going to get all the goal line carries. Unless Bernard drops the end of the second, early third, I'm not taking him.
Jeff, it is great to chat with you as always, senior editor of RotoWire. And folks, if you get a chance, check him out on SiriusXM. He's on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursdays. We always appreciate it, and have a great fantasy football season. Make some dough, all right?
Hey, thanks a lot. Great to talk to you guys.
Take care. Jeff Erickson joining us here on our Cunningham's Fantasy Football Chat. Don't forget, another year of the Doug and Daddy Fantasy Football Challenge brought to you by Cunningham's. Go to ESPNSuperstation.com to log in. It's free. You'll have a chance to put your team in every week, prizes every week, and at the end of the year, a Super Bowl party. And we will have more from Luke Hoover next Thursday as we get closer and get even more draft questions out there. When we come back, Monty Kratzenstein rejoins us. We've got some Husker news. The MIAA preseason volleyball poll is out. Stay with us.
Nearly 650,000 Americans were injured at work last year. In construction, agriculture, medicine, manufacturing, or an office, safety and wellness are the keys to a happy, healthy workplace.
Join us at the UNS Conference Center in Kearney, September 25th, for a one-day conference featuring over 20 breakout sessions, comedian Greg Schwemm, a full exhibit hall, and more. Full information and registrations are at GreatPlainsSafety.com. Early bird registration ends August 29th. Be safe. Be well. Log on to GreatPlainsSafety.com.
Plan now to attend the 31st Annual Platte Valley Antique and Collector Show at the Crystal Lake Recreation Area in Ayer, Nebraska on August 16th and 17th. Enjoy fun kid games, parades, tractor games, concessions, tractor displays, live music, and more. Also enjoy a wine and beer tasting event on Saturday. Gates open at 7 a.m. each day. $5 admission good for both days. Children under 10 get in for free. For more information, log on to pvama.org.
Please hold. Your call will be answered when the line is...
Sick of being just another number? As your local one-stop shop for all your insurance needs, the Kroll Agency can provide you with product variety and personalized claim service, all while calling you by name. Their most important concern is you. As an independent insurance agent, they're proud to offer worry-free insurance written through IMT and Wadita Insurance Companies, members of the IMT Group. Together, the Kroll Agency promises to provide you with the comfortable peace of mind that you deserve. Contact the Kroll Agency for your worry-free quote today.
Goodyear, driven by those who use the world as their proving ground. And everything we've learned making these tires inspires what we roll into yours. Goodyear, more driven.
And now through September 30th, get up to $60 by mail-in rebate when you purchase a set of four select Goodyear tires. Double your rebate up to $120 when you make the purchase on your Goodyear credit card.
Come see us at Graham Tire for a better tire and service experience. Graham Tire, your tire store next door.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
Rocky.com.
Shout to the heart, and you're to blame, darling. You give love a bad name.
Back to Daddy Show, Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you as we take a look at our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and Kulik's Topics. Who is your pick to win the Pac-12 this year? A lot of our listeners hanging on with Oregon, who keeps getting it done or is always right there. 67% said Oregon, 17% Stanford, and a couple of votes for UCLA and other. Who, just other? Okay, just other. Maybe Arizona State. Yeah. Which type of fantasy football league do you prefer? Head-to-head or total points? That is what you can vote on today at ESPNSuperstation.com. My leagues are pretty much the same. I'm in two that are head-to-head and two that are total points. Did I just say that? And even the head-to-heads, you get something for total points. But I like the head-to-head. Even if you have an off week, you got a chance
just win,
to win,
baby.
It
just
stinks
win,
to lose
baby.
When you score a lot, but there you go. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. You didn't have any fantasy football questions, Juan?
I took a hiatus and I studied up on some other things.
Would you like to be in one of our leagues this year?
Yeah, I'll go by the team Easy Money. That'll be my.
There's two things.
You just
want
my entry fee.
Dead last, or you're like the chick in the NCAA women's or NCAA yeah. basketball pool. I like their team colors.
Yeah,
and then they win it all. So
no, I have
baseball
enough.
And the guys that have won a couple of my leagues. I think that's not a bad strategy there, liking the team colors.
I spend enough time with college football that for the sake of my family, my wife's sanity, I stay away from that fantasy football NFL.
Let's go back to a couple of newsworthy items here. MIAA preseason volleyball poll is out. Of course, one of the toughest conferences in the toughest region in the country. The UNK volleyball team picked third. Now, they do have a lot of holes to fill from last year, but they are picked third, but it's very close. Central Missouri first, 6 first-place votes. Washburn second, 4 first-place votes. UNK third, 2 first-place votes. 115, 110, 108. Then you drop to 86 points with Central Oklahoma and Emporia State. Fort Hays State down at number 10. The Lopers have to replace 3 players who reached the 1,000 career kill milestone last year. They went 12-4 in the league, 28-7 overall. They begin camp Monday. And I have a public scrimmage on Tuesday, September 2nd. Begin action that weekend. That's part of our Loper Link brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith at Charter West National Bank. We're getting back into that time where the Loper volleyball team and the football team and soccer all getting going. Rick Squires announced that Kelly Carver has a couple of years of eligibility left, joining the program from Division II Cameron University in Lawton, Oklahoma, and defensive specialist Bailey Hughes of Syracuse is also joining the program. Of course, in the last week, the preseason football poll came out, Lopers 10th and 11th in those polls, and they have their first practice tomorrow, a little later than everybody else. That is our Loper Link, brought to you by Russ Smith at Charter West National Bank, Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan, Charter West National Bank. Monty, practice is over. Mm-hmm. Bo Pelini has officially said Riker Fife is the number two quarterback, so it's Armstrong, Fife, Stanton. Dan Hoppen on Husker Online said the most telling session today, a 15-minute 7-on-7 drill between the top units, and Armstrong, not wearing the green jersey, separated himself from Fife and Stanton, said that Fife was a bit inaccurate, but Armstrong was pinpoint on his throws today. Just the first little nugget. I know you've been looking at some stuff, too.
Well, one of the toughest things is you knew this time was coming where there had to be some sort of separation, even if it isn't from performance. It's the coaches making the decision. There's only so many reps that are available in practice. Yeah. And so you have to get to that point. When I went down and watched last week, there was not a huge difference between those three quarterbacks. And that sounds cliche, and it doesn't sound like it's a good thing. Tommy Armstrong, the way he differentiates himself right now is his knowledge of the offense. He has to become more consistent. If he showed that today, this morning, that's what we need to have happen. Those other two guys, they would have okay plays, and then every once in a while they would have a big play, and then every so often they would have a bad throw or something bad. So that was, I don't know if it was concerning last week, but it was one of those things where he said something's got to happen here. Something's got to break where they have to start giving more reps to certain guys.
And that's the key position. I mean, that's really why Nebraska is not rated higher, because they have potentially the offensive player of the year in Abdullah. They have the potentially the defensive player of the year, but people just don't believe in the quarterback position. So if Armstrong can make some strides and play a little bit better than he did last year, that is makes for the potential of Nebraska being where we want Nebraska to be.
Well, the part about it is our offense should be good enough where you don't have to depend on him to, quote, make plays to be successful. He just has to stay away from negative plays. I hate the term game manager, but you know, if you don't throw interceptions, you can complete some third down passes and not throw interceptions, not fumble the ball, our offense can be pretty good. But and Taylor Martinez did this over the years too, where he'd make some tremendous great plays, but his mistakes would lead to points for the other team. And that was one of the major frustrations with him.
It's important to point out that Peyton Manning did not win a national championship at Tennessee, but T. Martin did.
There you go. I mean, that's a good point. What do they want out of their quarterback position? Well, a lot of it is what they have. You take what's given to you as a quarterback, but they don't need Tommy Armstrong to go out there and run the option. Although everybody would love him to, because that's in people's hearts, but. And they don't need him to hit Kenny Bell 8 times in a game deep down the field. They need him to run the offense, handle the ball, not make bad decisions, and we'll be okay.
Also, out of practice, they continue to love DeMorne Pearson-L, who's going to step in at wide receiver. Mike Mowdy has been working with the first team at right guard. Daniel Davey, the number one corner opposite Mitchell. Also, Coach Pelini talked, last night you couldn't watch practice as the media, and they've been getting the ones against each other a little bit. He says it's been very competitive when the number ones have went against each other, and very spirited. He says he thinks they're
I love that term, spirited.
They're doing a good job. He likes that. And let's see, there was one other thing here. With Michael Rose being out, redshirt freshman Marcus Newby, Courtney Love, both have impressed Pelini, will likely be contributors for the black shirt. Defense, Newby, the highly talented linebacker out of Quince Orchard High School. Jason Ankra from there as well. So a couple of notes. Monty, anything else? You went to practice. You're going to go see him again this week. Anything else you wanted to bring up?
Well, it's hard when you just go a couple times, because there's certain guys that, pass the eye test that catch your eye. And you want to try – I mean, how do you not just stare at Abdullah run the football. That guy is something else. Or Kenny Bell and those, and Grandy Gregory. Those are known entities. But to me, the big thing is looking at those second tier guys. You talk about those, not just guys that start, but also those number twos, because guys are going to get hurt. And it's so hard, because I left practice and I thought to myself, oh, I wanted to watch so and so. I wanted to watch, you know, some of those linebackers. I wanted to watch Marcus Newby. I didn't even notice him. And that happens sometimes when you aren't there all the time. But it's almost like you have to specifically go there with the purpose of watching a specific spot. I'll tell you something right now. I want to focus. If ones are against ones, I want to watch Alex Lewis and Randy Gregory go at it, because Randy Gregory is one of the top guys in the country. Alex Lewis is supposed to be the best left tackle that we've had since Tim Beck has been there. I've heard great things about him. That's going to make him better. He is. That's the kind of battles I want to see.
And that's what you got to have. I'm curious to see how how they kind of draw up their practice plans, and how efficiently they're going to be able to do this with the less amount of time. And I think this is true of high schools as well, just how well organized you have to be ready for that very first game. One of the criticisms is they're not going to be ready for the first game, but they'll be better rested toward the end of the season. It'd be interesting to see really how both ends of that formula work out.
I don't know how much you guys have talked about Riker Fife, here and whatnot. When I was there, his high school coaches and Monty Fife was there watching, and had a chance to talk to him. And I've known Monty Fife, and I used to play junior legion baseball against each other way back when. I hung a curveball, he hit it out on me in the midget district tournament. Son of a gun. Anyway,
not that you remember that, or
not
anything,
that left a scar.
But
watching with him, obviously it's fun to watch a guy like that. It's interesting, the stereotypes of, oh, he's a walk-on guy from Grand Island. Oh, he should be this. He should be that. That son of a gun is an athlete. Riker Fife is an athlete. Oh, yeah. He threw the ball in just one practice that I saw. He threw the ball with different arm angles, which is so interesting to me. You always talk about mechanics of quarterbacks and how you want them to look throwing the ball. Well, it just doesn't always look like that. When they have to take a step to the right, step to their left, they have to roll out, they're facing some pressure, they're moving up in the pocket, they have to throw through these windows. And if you have some different arm angles where you can throw with good velocity and into a window, he has that. Where just the practice that I saw, Tommy Armstrong is still working on that. Tommy Armstrong looks really good with his mechanics and throws the ball pretty well. But Riker has, maybe it's just the amount of passes that he threw, because he threw a ton of them in high school, but he fits the ball into certain windows that I like to see. He's got some real talent. You can win with him at quarterback. Don't worry, Husker fans. But you want the best guy, obviously, there, and guy that can make plays as well.
Yeah, that's what Kenny Bell said when we were in Chicago. Tommy's my real close friend, but if we got somebody better, then that's the way it's got to be. Our Husker Talk brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems. TNL Irrigation pivots use efficient, smooth work to get you through the fields, and it's about that time. They're already talking. Listen to the ag reports here on ESPN. They're already talking about harvest. I hope harvest goes good for you, but still got a little time left here to get the corn to grow. TNL Irrigation, when it's time for you to get things done, visit the TNL Irrigation dealer closest to you. See them at one of the state fairs or, of course, when they are going to be out at Husker Harvest Days, or all the things that are going on here in the very near future. Or you can go online to TLIRR.com. Before we get out of here, you're busy this weekend, Bonnie. Are you busy this weekend?
You know, I'm not as busy as some of those other guys are. Remember, I'm on the waiting list. I'm a new employee. I'm on the waiting list. I don't get to hang out with all those
Wild Horse.
Oh, my son and I played there last Sunday evening. Beautiful. You know, it is an absolute gem.
And speaking of golf, good luck to the ladies playing their final round of the Nebraska Senior Women's Amateur going on out at the Kearney Country Club. Wraps up today. Randall? You look like you had something on your mind.
No, it's just I'm just befuddled. I'm just a little befuddled.
You're
today.
On Twitter. Bob Jensen told me he was on Twitter yesterday. And now you're on Twitter. We can follow you.
I'm following Bob Jensen too, because he's funny. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, he sends out some good stuff.
He's funny. As the football
and
season.
And you're saying I'm not, Monty? You're saying I'm not?
You're funny. Solid. You're quality.
If I got to fish for the compliments, they don't mean as much. Just saying.
It might be. I'm always looking for people to make me laugh. That's just the
the way I do things.
Hey, but wait a minute. Why do you follow Bush Cutter? Did you lose a bet or something?
Snarky, I think is the word we use.
Did I say laugh with or laugh at? I didn't make the differentiation between those two.
Humor is humor. Doesn't matter how it comes.
As the college football season approaches, we love to get involved with Twitter, and it's fun. Entertaining stuff.
So how can they follow you? Give the address. If you want to.
Monty Cracker at Twitter. You know,
is that Cracker with a K?
Cracker with a K. That's an old Legion, second Legion reference. My old Legion baseball coach used to always, I don't know why he called me that. Oh, that's good or bad. we'll deal with that later.
You crumble under pressure, would you?
I was salty. I was salty, dude.
Nice. Way better. Way better. Hey, we want to thank Monty Kratzenstein for coming in, chatting Husker football with us. Kearney Catholic head coach Dave Colling for chatting with us, previewing the Stars' upcoming season. And, of course, Jeff Erickson, senior editor of RotoWire. Tomorrow on the program, we will be talking with Kevin Stein, the head football coach at Grand Island Northwest. Steve Anderson will be my co-host as we are live at Bandit Sports Bar and Grill in Grand Island. Stop by and join us there for lunch tomorrow from 11 to noon. Plus, they've got a big, great band coming in from Colorado Thursday night. If you'd like to do your fantasy football draft at Bandits, contact Tim. They'd love to have you in with plenty of specials there as well. Randy, good luck in your fantasy draft.
I need all the luck I can get. It's been a rough couple of years.
Remember, Brady Quinn's on your roster. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.